And it looks like John joined.
John did join.
Geek. Capcom. Mel. And here's your host, Matthew Jorney.
John, speak something. It's been 7 weeks. We haven't heard your voice. Speak. There you go. Thank you.
Wonderful. Are you still Irish?
What's it like? Are you still in Ireland?
Are you still in the Ireland?
How do you say coronavirus in Gaelic?
In Irish.
We're going to keep giving you this unwanted attention until you say something. Bob, the Jesus hair is really freaking the fuck out.
It's red like Jesus that? Hair.
No, I don't like the red Jesus hair. One bit.
What happens, man?
I've been in quarantine for people. Yeah, I've been in quarantine for like 6 weeks. My hair just kept growing. We can't get it cut. I don't know what's going on.
It's like Bob Ross after he got out of the shower and is just freaking the fuck out of me. Ugh.
Really, really, I just wore this hair just for John so that he would feel better.
But what?
Because it's red?
No, because it's nice long locks.
Jeez, did you just hear me getting racially profiled there by Keith?
I did hear that, actually.
I just thought you digged chicks with red hair. I mean, I wasn't really trying
to
say
that's what you thought.
What are you guys inferring?
When have you ever seen me hanging around fucking red-haired women?
I haven't hung around you enough to really get a good estimate on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, to be fair, the only time we hung around you, the only woman you were hanging around next to was Mel. Because it's always five of us together.
No, Matt, you know well enough that's not true. I was hanging around that fucking place.
He was trying to be considerate of your feels triggered you.
In case any new listeners, potentially, maybe, I did see John hang around one woman for 20 minutes and then run the fuck away faster than I've ever seen any man run away.
Yeah, so there you go. There's two types, I guess.
She was also with another dude at the time, too. So you were both running away from a girl and a dude at the same time.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing. You know the way, like, you go out into the world now, I feel like you see people who've just given up completely. Like, you know, I've seen more sweatpants in the last, like, 2 months than I ever had before. It's like there's, like, an entire army of, like, young lions out there in their track pants getting ready to warm up for life itself. It's been a strange time. And I sit here wearing track pants myself. You know, I mean, fuck everybody. Like, you know, I made a joke to someone who was getting ready to leave their house a couple of weeks ago. And they're going, even if you met somebody and they found you attractive and well put together, you still wouldn't be able to fuck them in good conscience. So just look like a bag of shit. That's what's the problem.
The thing I've noticed, because I live in a city where sweatpants are just the norm for everybody because everyone's already given up, lack of showering. Like I said at the very beginning of the quarantine, and by the way, right now is May 15th, just to keep the dates going as we start. At the beginning of this, I said, showers, pants, and deodorant are a going outside thing for me right now. But at least I do all those three things before I leave my house. The aromas in the markets have been, what's a good word for this?
Pungent.
Ripe. Pungent. Very ripe. More so than normal.
Everyone's wearing masks, so like...
I'm sorry. Mel has begun her new Zoom fucking background thing.
Skype can do that now?
Apparently.
So I just... No. I just... To this exact thing, I just went in here for our show to fix up my audio and realized that they, too, were whoring themselves out on the world of backgrounds. And I was like, oh, I am doing this.
Well, I mean, it's an innovation that they need to keep up with. Because it's like, remember years ago, the porn sites had that thing where if you put your cursor over the video, it'd give you a little preview, and then YouTube started doing it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get stuck behind the times, all right? People want to put shit behind them.
A little little better. No, it's not. It's not better. That's anyway.
Weird.
No,
that was weird. Your microphone came into view
I
there.
I know. I'm still trying to figure out how to use it, too. I figure I can mess around with it on here. Oh, there we go. Okay. That's interesting. Now I'm in the gap over here. I'm in the gap. I'm in the gap.
The best one I saw was like the backdrop for the old interviews in the WWF. And Mean Gene is standing next to you holding the mic. And,
that'd be awesome. Yeah,
pretty nice. But
hilarious ones. I just think it's.
I mean, straight away, my mind goes, I wonder what kind of Hitler background.
Yeah, like you're up at the podium or something. Like,
same.
Put black and white scale on yourself.
Like, in all honesty, Mel, if it wasn't on Facebook where you posted that question, you would have gotten much more spicier backdrops. Because, like, 36 came to mind that I'm like, I can't put these on Facebook. This will be the end if I put these on Facebook.
Matt, there's a reason I put the things I put where I put them. I don't need the horror of what Twitter would answer of you saying wrong, best Zoom backgrounds, wrong answers only. That is not a Twitter. I don't need to deal with that.
You're not ready for the hilarity, are you?
I am on somebody else's fucking Twitter account, but that ain't gonna be my Twitter. That shit intact.
I'll take the bullet. I'll poison the well for this.
I don't need 10. Look, I live in Michigan. I see Confederate flags and Nazi banners plenty. I don't need them on my Twitter feed, too.
I'm just saying, if you were standing to the right hand of Stalin giving a speech, it would have been a much funnier backdrop. That's all.
You're talking to a woman who has a friend on this very podcast who made me in Kim Jong-un in a fucking...
Oh, yeah,
get Christmas sweaters. Or it was Kim Jong-il. It was Kim Jong-il.
That's what, that dates the picture. That's when he was alive.
I know, right.
That's
how long we've known each other.
I remember, is Kim Jong-un dead? Did that turn out that he's,
Not that I've heard of.
No one knows.
Yeah. No, they do know. That was a lot of hype. The CIA was like they're doing everything they possibly can at this point to try and get people to not think about the fact
But no one's heard from Putin for like a month because he's had the COVID and he's been in quarantine.
Now he's hunting bears.
My favorite thing out of Russia, it's not
bears.
Great.
Well, at least bears can't get COVID.
No, he had three doctors accidentally fall out of fifth story windows who were being whistleblowers on the COVID.
Bullets.
Like I filled out an elevator shaft on some bullets. Yeah.
Imagine Putin gets it, right? And he goes, "Oh no, the only way I can cure this is by sucking a load of dick." Everybody, I know this is deviant and horrifying, but maybe if I just do it, maybe we just do it a couple of times, maybe then I might get cured.
President Putin, I have some bad news. I've got good news and bad news. Good news is we found the cure for COVID-19. Bad news, gay man semen. Fresh. It's the only way.
Wow.
Oi.
Only the gay ones, too, not the straight
ones. It's got to be fresh squeezed. It's the only way.
It's got to be the ones that like it.
Sucked it through a hose, huh?
Oh,
hose.
That would be the greatest fucking prank ever pulled.
No, it has to specifically be dick fresh. That's the description.
Dick stomach. It's the only way it works.
I imagine like they can't get the trademark on the C, so it just says D-I-K.
I never. That's a funny thing. Actually, I never heard of. Somebody referring to cum as being dick fresh. As opposed to the frozen stuff you get in the clinics.
That won't work. Loses its potency.
Matt, it depends on how you froze it, you know.
Oh, yeah, that fresh frozen deal. Don't buy into that hype, Mr. President.
No. Can't do my sourdough starter with that shit.
You have to know there's somebody out there who goes, "Oh, no, I'm going to get some of that fucking fridge jizz." I want your kid to be like Iceman from the X-Men.
That's how genetics work. Everyone knows if you add an element to your jism, that kid will be blessed with that element. So seriously, strike some matches next time. See what happens.
Well, I mean, makes sense because Cartman was able to get all those embryonic stem cells to make another Shakey's. So
it's why I'm on a steady diet of silly putty, so my baby will stretch like Mr. Fantastic.
Right, like it's the only way it works. Like it's...
yeah, can also like rub his like press his body on things and make copies of it on his skin and stuff.
What if I told you all you had to do was jizz him right into a batch of silly putty instead of eating it? That's the slow way to do it. There's the quick way.
Just wait, like holy just shit, magically Matt is onto something.
It would just magically make a child. Except both your jizz and the child will smell like silly putty.
Yes, ooh. And you'll also get like the ink rubs every time they try to read the paper on their hands or whatever part it talks
good,
to.
But good news, Matt. No one's read a paper since 1998.
Well, I mean, then that kid's in for a bad surprise whenever he fucking runs into ink, because it will happen eventually. Ink has not been destroyed entirely.
That kid's gonna like go to a museum and accidentally touch something, and they're gonna have to like freeze him there forever.
Just jizz into silly putty, and it'll eventually take shape into a human.
I think
like,
it
that's,
works. I
that's
think
how genetics
work.
If you do it just right, you can just fill up like a ice holder for your freezer with that, and just put it away, and just save it for later.
Fucking the hot tub, guys. You'll get Aquaman in fucking 9 months.
There you go. See?
Oh god, the worst superhero.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, let's face it. You'd be happier if you're like, oh, your son has Booster Gold's powers. Like it's our like, cause I'm sorry, but like I like the ocean. I live next to it. All right, I've lived next to it my entire life. But Aquaman's fucking powers are bollocks.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want? Anybody could have Booster Gold's powers, like theoretically.
Yeah, yeah, his are like, yeah, this is all yeah. You know, speaking of superheroes, this is an interesting discussion I had recently with a friend about like the difference between Eastern superheroes and Western superheroes.
Okay.
How like Western superheroes' powers are always external. Like Captain America is injected with a serum and he becomes a Superman. Iron Man builds a suit that gives him superpowers. Booster Gold gets a suit that gives him powers. Spider-Man is bitten by a spider that gives him power. While a lot of, you know, if you look at anime and things like that, it's all internal strength. Mm-hmm. And it's all stuff that they have to train, and it all comes from within, and it takes time and it takes practice. And it's not just like you're a superhero.
No. Yeah, it's mystical, and the elements is usually what it is from the Eastern side.
Yeah, it's even like My Hero Academia, which is a superhero show. They make an explicit thing to say their powers are all physical, so they have a limit. They have to train to get better at them. And even the hero with no, the kid with no power who gets his power instilled in him still needs to train to be good enough to use the power. Like I never noticed that difference.
Is that Mr. Satan didn't train hard enough?
You know, for any base human, Mr. Satan's pretty tough. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the fact that he ended up fighting aliens and shit. Yeah. I mean, he's not Krillin, the strongest person on Earth, but like, he's definitely like third behind his daughter as far as strength in humans go.
Now there are a lot of factors between East and West that go into, but because it's me, I'm going to do the most simplest and most aggravating one possible. Western shit is all exterior because Westerners always dream about being superior over their fellow man, and having an external power that makes you a god amongst insects is a really cool fantasy.
Yeah, and it's not a special thing. It's a special external thing only you have. It's not a thing all of us have that you just have to practice at.
And in Eastern philosophy, if you're not good enough, it's because you suck, child. Get to it. You know what I mean? And that whole fighting spirit for everything is just a constant, this, like, agonizingly gross fucking way to try to justify one's existence, since all of Japan is just an isle of, you know, socially depressed, fucking dejected youth that just looking for a reason to hold on one day. And so it's all like, no, dig deep and find a reason. Wanting to be strong is reason enough. There's no purpose for your life. You don't need a purpose. Be the very best just for being the very best.
Damn. So this is one way to look at it.
I don't like anime.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anything Keith likes, you obviously have to go to your way to shit on, but. Grover, anime.
Yeah.
Ooh, Grover anime.
No, just saying, like, those...
Super Grover almost, right here.
Like, I it seems like that... was it Grover? Was that the one who you were giving out about? Because he never...
Grover, Yes, I was an asshole to Grover. Yes, that was the one.
Very long, long time ago.
I know that's in the vault, and one day I will find it again, and I'll be able to reshare it with the world, and it will be fun to listen to us as young lions making
the greatest line I've ever spoken ever. Who did Grover ever beat?
What did Grover ever do? I think.
That's right.
What
actually.
The line actually is what did Grover ever do?
I stand by that. What the hell did he ever successfully complete in his entire life?
Arguing? Not arguing.
It's like 60 years old. Celeste.
So like I've transcended this, Matt. I will not let you goad me into this anymore.
This isn't an attack on Keith, despite what everybody seems to think
it is.
No, it's not. It's me.
It is you. No.
It's just an attack on Keith's values.
Yes.
and the puppet that raised me.
It's
like a father to me, Matt. How dare you?
Wow. For the reference, because this was years ago and people may not have heard this, I began ripping into Grover before I understood Keith's connection, his childhood connection with Grover. However, the tears only made me go stronger because...
Oh, yeah, that's wrong. That's a misrecollection.
It's not. Cause, like,
is because Keith was telling us a tender and wonderful story about how his, like, grandpa or something used to read him the monster at the end of the book and how much he liked Grover. And that was when you were like, ooh, look at Keith being vulnerable. Let me slaughter his feet.
No, that's what I tripped down on it. The actual Grover ripping happened 15 minutes before that. Because I remember actually having the internal struggle, like, should I shut up? No, John will never forgive me if I shut
think
up.
You like to, I think you like to remember yourself.
Go over to the tapes. Let's go to the tapes. Go
someday
to
I will find it and we will know.
Or it fell into the party. He was not here at all at the time, at least on the show. So
I'm willing to admit that I am.
Everybody remembers themselves as the hero. Until it's like 2 a.m. and they're in bed. And then they go, oh, remember when I was the biggest cunt ever? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay up for the next 4 hours.
Listen, I realize that I am no hero, okay? I realize this and recognize it. However,
but that doesn't that I don't try and play myself off that way.
That's
I am no hero. Sorry, I just felt really inspired there for a moment.
Don't you wish Creed would feel a thing, Keith?
That's what it sounds like. Except that guy thought he was Jesus, so he would say he's a hero. This is more like
same thing to him. I mean,
yeah, it's more of like a Nickelback, like hometown loser.
Jesus was a hero. Come on, he had superpowers.
Not the Jesus Creed talking about.
Jesus did have superpowers.
I wonder if Jesus' powers would have gotten better or stronger if he had worked out like a Japanese Jesus.
Exactly.
If Jesus tried to be the very best like no one ever was, I imagine they wouldn't have caught him in the end. That's all I'm saying.
If Jesus had gone to that Battle Royale tournament, maybe he'd still be alive today.
Yes!
If you subscribe to some beliefs, Jesus did travel to the East and learn a lot in his between 13 and 30 and then came back.
Kung Fu Jesus? Is that serious?
I mean, kind of, but more like, you know, meditation and things like that.
Was he powerful enough to turn all of the water on Earth to wine? Because that's the Jesus I want.
Jesus is too humble for that shit.
Party
he only does. He only does it at weddings that don't have enough wine. He only does what he has. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the devil. Like you're just like the devil taunting him in the desert. Like, why don't you just do this?
I want to see
Jesus. Okay.
You know, I want to see Asian Jesus Adventures as a cartoon. All right.
The Jesus Adventures, like Young Indiana Jones.
And like, there's an episode where he fights Antonio Inoki's great great granddad on an island.
Yeah. You can't see the literal facepalm I just did as those.
He goes to Australia before they start dumping convicts there, and he like punches a kangaroo or some shit, or maybe he learns from
Godzilla twice.
Oh yeah, that's when he goes to Japan.
The big rock in Australia. He's got something to do with that. Like, he moves that into something, or he fights one of those big giant fucking bugs, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, and it turns into the rock.
So what you're saying is Jesus is the nine-tailed fox. Okay.
Yeah, Jesus is like a folk hero. This is like Jesus as a folk hero, I like this, you know.
Jesus is the biggest folk hero that's ever existed.
I mean, true, yes, but, yeah,
but
you
he's
know.
Not relevant.
He should. What he should have did is get his apostles, and they should have went around like Kane from Kung Fu or the A-Team and helped people all over the world.
I mean,
each apostle should have gotten a special weapon and a special type of drink.
Exactly. Fox Force 5, the Jesus edition.
Here's the thing. You know when he gets crucified and comes back from the dead? You know, and then he ascends to heaven, as they say. Like on the 8th or whatever, he ascends to heaven. What if that's just a bunch of fucking dog and pony bullshit, right? And this is actually the start of the Highlander mythology. He's the first Highlander immortal.
Yeah.
And he's there going, and the, like Julius Caesar is there going, I know what I should have done. I should have cut his head off. And that's the first season, like, ends with Jesus and him having a sword fight with Queen.
Oh, yeah, no. he's got to fight, he fights Pontius Pilate on the way in the season, though.
Oh,
definitely. It's one of those like, things where, like, he runs into Pontius Pilate. He's like, I know I knew it.
Or, like, Gilgamesh.
I killed you and I had the chance. Like, I washed my hands of your death, but by the end of this, they'll be covered in your blood.
All right,
guys. Gilgamesh and Zeus and all those like pre-Christian gods, they're all immortals too. Yeah, that's that. I'd watch the fuck out of that.
What if every
you totally
week
left Odin out of that? What the hell?
They're all in there. I'm sorry.
Odin season 2 reveal. Odin would be a season 2 reveal.
Oh, like, fair enough. You can't
fucking voice
your
what if every week, a new demon came out, and what if we gave all the apostles a giant robot to fight them?
Oh,
and if their powers combined, they summoned Jesus to form the head of a giant super robot.
No, that, so that's, wait a minute, that's Jesus 2024.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot.
Because if we could scale that back, we can get a good elevator pitch. You know what I mean? Like, you just need to give people the, like that, like, just go into an elevator and be like, well, it's like Jesus meets Supernatural meets Kung Fu The Legend Continues. Mm-hmm. Fighting demons, traveling around, saving people, but it's Jesus and his homies. Yeah, and you could have the first 12 episodes, each one could be dedicated to a different apostle he meets along the way.
All right, you
first 12 episodes, right?
The flagship show. I'll pitch the kids' cartoon spinoff.
Yes, with the robot. Yeah, we got to get the kids in with the toys, man.
We can get
my show's not a toy
angle.
Show.
Just like
this is something like a stoner will watch like 4 hours of on a Saturday afternoon on USA. Is the
Jesus, the Next Generation.
Whoa. Mm.
And that's like the Avengers, where the little kids got all of their shit in the future, like random, like went to the museum, and I'm gonna take Captain America's shield.
You know what's been happening to us in quarantine, John. It's just a show.
Now I'm just imagining like a hell.
All converted.
Doom Eternal, and then like all of humanity's like on its last leg, and then all of a sudden like a bright light comes in, and you just see Jesus holding some space age super gun with sunglasses. Told you I'd be back. Come on. Perfect.
John and I came up with a whole story before about the X-Men and about how they just had normal jobs. So,
well, I mean, you'd have to do that at a certain point if you're a mutant. You'd have don't buy the idea that every superpower being decides the destiny awaits. You know, like,
I mean, most of them are teachers for their day jobs.
No, but like,
main job in the world.
But what I'm saying is that like somebody gets superpowers and goes, ah, man, you know what? Like, yes, my body is this, but my mind is a sculptor. Okay, or a fucking, I don't know, an account. Like, don't pigeonhole me just because I can lift a truck, all right? That's what I'm asking for here. I'm asking for some humanity beyond my super humanity, all right?
I'm the manager of the shop down the street.
There's been a few bits of that in some of the X-Men comics I used to read back in the early aughts. Like, there's one where, Morph gets his doctorate in, like, music or something like that, and then there's just, like, him looking at this, like, at the screen breaking the fourth wall, going, like, yeah, it's a school, remember? You can do that here. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're either all students or they're all teachers. I guess they would be working to some sort of degree during the day, right? Yes.
Well,
I mean,
Professor Xavier's school is probably a fucking diploma mill anyway. It's like, oh, yeah, you're a doctor in fucking eyeglasses or whatever. It's fucking...
Well, Xavier's got the ultimate cheating method to educate. He just puts the information in your brain.
That'd be all right, actually.
It'd be great. Fucking right, the dirty dog! Sorry.
Nice.
Keith has got my wonderful stolen spaceship idea for our Space King game up as his background. And it is
it's fun.
It's the ultimate
check
spaceship.
It out. Yeah, that was one of the backgrounds I had is the image Matt sent me for in the Space Kings game I run for them, which is their ship looks like a T-Rex with tits.
That's
flies through space. Check out them
That's
boobs.
Fucking awesome.
This isn't for you, listeners. Sorry, not for you. This is for my friends. It's great. So I'm in space with them.
Yes, the dirty dog.
That's amazing.
Totally stole that from Happy Harry Animations, but I don't care. It's the coolest spaceship design that's ever been made.
It's led to a lot of interesting ideas that all the junk in the ship kind of ends up down in the feet, so our one scrounger character goes digging around in there every once in a while and like makes a flip, and I end up having to come up with some crazy shit he finds in this generational ship that has been passed down for years and is hundreds of years old.
Like Sour Patch Kids.
Like Sour Patch Kids, yes. One of the few things to survive the apocalypse on Earth is
Sour
Patch Kids.
I believe that, actually.
Elaborate here for me, okay? Clarify for me.
Mm-hmm.
Are Sour Patch Kids anything to do with Garbage Patch Kids?
No.
No.
Garbage Kids or Garbage Pail Kids?
Oh, yes. Cabbage?
Cabbage Patch Kids?
Oh, yeah. One is a toy. One's a doll, Cabbage Patch Kid. Sour Patch Kid is a gummy that is got, like, sour salt on the outside that they taste awesome, but they burn the inside of your mouth completely off.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other? Oh, and Garbage Pail Kids are a card collection set that
I remember them. My cousins had them.
Those were awesome.
You know, Sour Patch Kids are great. I've heard stories from multiple people over the years where they're like, I knew a kid who ate a giant share size, like a giant bag of them. And then he had his, like, peeled the skin off his tongue.
Yes.
He kills all of the skin on your tongue.
Yes.
And multiple children have done this. Like,
yep.
I'm not surprised.
And whatever you do, don't snort them.
No, that is.
What, was that some challenge that I missed on the YouTube?
Yeah, man. You don't want a whole one lodged in your nose there.
Why not?
Causes Homer Simpson syndrome when he got the crayon stuck in his brain.
I may have told you guys this before. But I knew a kid when I was growing up who obsessively stuck stuff up his nose.
Yes.
And one of the great memories I have of that guy, he was
ritualistically shoving shit up his nose.
Yeah, he was pulling the stuffing out of a couch cushion. Because we were in like a shed and they had moved the old couch in.
Oh,
and
no.
So there was like an exposed piece of, you know, the orange foam inside of a couch
Gross.
Cushion.
Ugh.
And he's pulling it out and shoving it up his nose. And eventually, I remember there was a whole bunch of us there. There was a bunch of girls there. And that's why I'll never forget this because of the sound they made. And this guy just went, all right, I'm done there or whatever. And he, you know, closes one nostril and goes to clear out the other with a big old blow. And all this fucking blood-soaked sponge just flew everywhere.
Oh,
Jesus.
It was fucking horrifying, but also really funny.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
He used to, like, he'd get, like, a Kinder Egg and instead of making the toy, he just put the parts up his nose.
That's like some My Strange Addiction level shit, you know what
that's
I mean?
Weird.
Like, I realize
just you do you, but whoa.
Yeah, it was the 1990s, like, so, you know, there was, like, nobody would ever think of sending him to a therapist back then or whatever, you know, just because,
yeah,
he might come out gay or something.
Right.
Because you know, that's what they're just tricksters, those therapists.
Right. The therapists are. Not the priests and the other shit. Just the therapists.
Just want more gay people.
it's my favorite thing with conspiracy theories and like thinking like that. I think I told you guys before, but it was like when Alex Jones spewed out that thing where he goes, they're turning the frogs gay, and you go, why? What is the end game of having a population of homosexual frogs?
Gay frogs.
Because if people eat the gay frogs, it'll spread the gay virus.
Is that why all the French are gay?
It's gotta be. It's the only answer.
Holy shit, that was a
well, I mean, they're
guy.
Like a hybrid of frog and man, right? I've never been.
What?
Never seen a French man.
Listen, I'm just saying, you look at the corona outbreak levels in France.
Oh, Jesus.
Drastically lower than the rest of the fucking free world.
It's got to be the frog thing, I guess.
It's all the frog semen they eat.
It's that gay jism. It just
cures
that shit like it's no one's business.
Corona, more like co-ribbit.
And we'll make you an amphibian.
That was so stupid.
It's so awesome, though.
Oh, shit.
That's why it's great. That's why it works.
It's how we cope.
It is how we cope.
Everyone dislikes the French, so, you know.
It's weird, right? I have friends from France, and they hate France and French people. And they're just like, oh, yeah, no, I will never move back there. I hate the people so much. And, like, and I had one friend, Laurent, and we were talking about this girl we both knew, and she was French. He said to me, I was there going, oh, why is she such a dick? And he goes, I don't know, man. She's just very French. But, yeah, so, like, all the people I've met who live in Ireland from France, they're all great fun. You just don't think they're fun just because they sound too sophisticated to be fun. That, you know, that accent. Like, Laurent, when I first was working with him, like, he dressed like better than every man in Ireland and looked very sharp, and I was just there going, look at him, he doesn't like fun, there's not two ways about it, like he just has sex with like women from Morocco and you know, plays guitar.
Wait, and that's not fun?
No, it's, well, you know,
not
what I mean,
for us.
It's that's out of the league's fun, right?
Oh,
that's,
okay,
you know, it's like when you say to some fucking billionaire, they're like, oh yeah, fun, I know that, that's hunting foreign children, right? With fucking.
Wow.
Well, last time I had fun, it was on a little plane called the Lolita Express.
That's what, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I beat Ratchet and Clank 2 today. That was fun.
That's some like Eastern European shit. You get paid a lot of money, you're locked into a room and cut someone up.
Yeah, I mean. Like, I'm sure,
we don't need to bring the Clintons into this.
You know, like, if you've got enough money and can get to Thailand, there's a lot you can get done.
That's, yeah, that's fucked. I mean, it's exactly what it is. It's the fallout of colonization. Eventually, you gotta do all the shit for the vacation in white man just to get the fuck by.
Do you think Eli Roth and Hillary Clinton are friends?
I don't know.
Why do you ask that?
Because of the combination of Bob's fucking hostile fucking comment and your Clinton comment.
Oh, no, no. Real psychos aren't upfront about it. That's what. Like,
you know.
Like,
that's not always true.
Not always, but I don't think, you know.
There are some psychos that think they're so above the fucking rest that they do not care if people know about it or not.
I mean, come on, Matt. Name me one harmful artist. I'm just going to stop. Never mind. Let's not even.
I mean, we only have 2.5 hours, Keith. I mean, come on.
What director out there?
One harmful artist? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, but it's weird though, right? When you think about a guy like a Dahmer, but like the guys who have the scandals, right? They're always, there's always something being covered up. There's never going to be a Terry Funk scandal. You know, like where they're just like, he got it all out when he was blowing people up in Japan in 1994.
Was that the argument? Did we talk about that on here or somewhere? I remember someone saying like, there's a reason we had people torture people back in the day. They were the people who would end up now being serial killers. They just don't have a job anymore.
Yep.
We don't have dungeons anymore, so all our psychopaths are out there just being psychopaths.
There's no job for sadism anymore, and because of that, sadists are now running the streets.
Sadists everywhere. God damn.
When it comes to art and what people put out, I think anytime there's a restraint shown in creative endeavors, I start smelling deviancy hidden underneath the layers. Because I'm just like, I don't know, like I think Like, it's weird. I watched Dogma recently, and I went back and watched that, and I was like, this is, Kevin Smith is genuinely trying to explain what trying to explain his views on his own religion. But he can't help all the extra humanity falling out as well. You know? And, that's to me is almost an earnest expression of, like that kind of religious thinking. But it's when you're Ted Haggard and you're going, hey man, drugs and gays, all right? They're a load of shit. That's when you're like Ted Haggard, you get caught doing crack out of a guy's asshole in a fucking hotel room. Yeah. And guess what, man? I would have been A-okay with you doing crack in fucking dudes, all right? Everybody would have been.
Yeah, front, man. Don't front.
Yeah, just fucking... It's like, I don't know.
Who are those religious... like?
Don't rob everybody else of the opportunity to do said things.
I can't remember their name. There's that big family, like generational of TV evangelicals. I can't remember their name, but that
Robertsons. Are you talking about the Pat Robertson guy? Or are you talking about Franklin Graham? Is one of the ones that's out there.
There's a few.
The one that Danny McBride show is based on.
Oh, I don't know.
But you know that one I mean, right? Where it's about the religious. Yeah. That one's based on a couple, but there's a specific... I can't think of their name right now.
Does
and that's
really
great
matter,
podcasting
Keith?
Right there. Oh, I gotta think. I can't think of it.
Does it really Keith. Matter? They're all sort of the fucking same. They all totally scam you, poor people out of their money in so God will help them.
I mean, in all honesty, they're just praying to Odin when they do so. I mean, every fucking religious scam owes its fucking piece to the Allfather.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. My least favorite thing in podcasting this year, right, was listening to Keith beat himself up there a second ago, okay?
That was self-degrading humor.
It's deprecating. You're not supposed to be degrading yourself.
Self-deprecating humor. I shit myself just there.
Did you say self-deprecating? What?
Yeah. I shit myself while I was making a joke.
Yeah, that's self-degrading humor. You're just like, yeah, I just, I tell knock-knock jokes so they wear nappies that people can see.
Right. Sorry.
What's going on now in your background, Mel?
Was that face always that creepy looking back in the show?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's like a rendering. That's like a 3D rendering of Zordon, not the guy whose face they had like 10 seconds of film from and would just play back over and over.
Zordon's face was just a blurry Japanese fat dude, right? Like that's
for a little bit of context.
No, he was like a pasty
folks.
White guy.
Was he?
Context. I just switched it to the Power Rangers headquarters. My background.
So. Background war going on. Now, I always thought it was like Bulk with like a really close shot on him, and they just had him playing Zork and Bulk kind of looked like him.
It wasn't. It was some other guy.
Honestly, it's mostly because I want to see where they're centered on here, and this is a great way to test it out.
Yeah.
I love that the opening of that show where he goes, hey,
kids
find
with
me,
attitudes.
Yeah, find me five teenagers with attitude. And I just like the idea of the little robot going, teenagers, huh?
Zordon, what do you get at here, bud?
I wish I still had my penis. Go Power Rangers.
It was girls and guys. I mean, it was equal opportunity at least.
Zordon just wishes he had physical sensation being a fucking blobulous head inside a jar for all these.
I hate my life. I just float here in this fucking sphere.
I just love
Rangers.
You know the racial profiling that went on in Power Rangers, where it's like the Asian Power Ranger, she's the Yellow Ranger. I like the idea of Zach going, hey, am I the Black Power Ranger because I'm black? And Zordon goes, no, man, it's because you got the biggest dick.
I love that the second stable of teenagers, they literally flipped the Black and Yellow Ranger so that the Asian kid was the Black Ranger and the Black girl was the Yellow Ranger. That was their answer to getting rid of the old stereotype.
Yeah, and I always loved that the Yellow Ranger was male in Japan, so but that you need another female in America. So listen, they pick the woman, and that's why only the Pink Ranger has a skirt and the Yellow Ranger doesn't, because in Japan, it's a guy.
Billy right? was my favorite. Just saying.
Billy was my favorite because I'm a nerd.
Apparently, like the crew of that fucking show were really horrible to poor Billy.
Oh, yeah, and I always liked the color blue. That's why I was like always Leonardo, Billy, like...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I always thought Zach's helmet was the coolest, and his axe was pretty great. So,
the Green Ranger's helmet was the coolest.
Was a Red Ranger.
Yeah.
So.
It had to be the Green Ranger. That's what
I mean, he had himself a fucking Godzilla helmet. Like, that was the coolest.
Tommy. He was the only one that could actually do martial arts.
He was the only one that was actually badass enough to do what needed to be done. The rest of them were just fucking yes men.
There's
the best Power Ranger.
Right there. That was what I was going for.
Generation Thunder Liger has joined in. After now finishing his final match, he's appeared
That's
in
That's what I really wanted Bell's to get route. At there.
The,
I figured that one was important enough.
His YouTube channel is fucking hilarious. Because, like, he is literally... Like, bored.
That's what he talks about the bath, where he's like, "I take a bath. I don't care."
Yeah, no, he's like, well, like he's giving out about the young lions not cleaning out the bath water. And like,
gross.
And he's like, he's standing there for 10 minutes waiting for the water to be washed out. And he turns to the camera and he goes, "You might think I'm a stickler, but I enjoy baths very much." And like that vlog killed me though, just because he wakes up at like 5 a.m. makes breakfast for the dojo, does a bunch of squats, and then allows himself 45 minutes to make Godzilla models. And he acts like he's cheating by doing it. He's like, yes, I get this time to myself every day. And you're like, man, you can do whatever you like. You're a grown man.
Yeah.
He's not just a grown man. He's Jushin Thunder Liger. He could literally do anything he wanted in Japan, and everyone would be like, he's Jushin Thunder Liger. What do you expect me to do? Like, I can't stop him.
It's got to be handy to be him as well, where it's just like, he goes up to a restaurant in Tokyo and he can't get a table. And he's like, I'll be back in a minute. He goes and gets the mask out of the car. And they're just like, oh, this way.
Yeah, exactly. He walks up in the mask. Like,
that was the Destroyer.
I just think he should go in with his costume and just be like, hey, so I just want to be prime minister now. That's it. What? I just want to be prime minister. So, we're going to do that right now. Oh, okay. I guess we're doing that now.
One of my favorite stories from the 70s in Japan was Dick Beyer, the Destroyer. And he was like, Dick Beyer is a celebrity. He's a knight, I think, in Japan. Like, Dick Beyer is another level of celebrity. There isn't like a parallel for like a foreign celebrity in a culture outside of him. He's huge. Like, next to Ricky Dozan, basically. And entire family moved to Japan at a certain point. They lived there for years. And his daughter he pulled up in a car and sent his daughter in to get a table at a restaurant. And this was in, like, rural Japan. And they basically went, get out, white devil. And he went, oh, we're going to fucking see about that. And he pulls the mask out, puts it on, and walks in and breaks the place up, essentially.
Nice.
And they're like, on their knees apologizing to him.
That was my fucking daughter.
They're like, oh, no, Mr. Destroyer, please don't get Ricky Dozan's ghost after us. But, he told that story very humbly. But I just is like, that's got to be amazing, where he just kind of goes, well, I'm a big burly guy. I could go in and cause trouble anyway, but it'll be worse if I put the gimmick on.
Oh, hell yeah.
It anyway, you know?
You've got to imagine that those guys carry their masks with them all the time just for such an occasion of something going on.
Well, I mean, there's a documentary I watched recently about the great Sasuke, and he fucking doesn't take it off. Like, yeah, there's like footage of him having breakfast with his family, and he's got his breakfast mask on. And you're like, man.
Well, that's like Rey Mysterio, the original, the senior, who like kids don't even know what his face looks like or something like that.
Oh yeah, Mil Máscaras, all those guys were like that. Yeah. They were just like,
you imagine? I want to put in a room. I want to get all these great masked wrestlers. Okay, I want to put on one side of the room. I want like Jushin Thunder Liger, great Sasuke, throw in the Mysterios in there, whoever you want. And on the other side of the room are all these guys who think it's not cool to wear an N95 mask right now, or think it's silly. And I want to put the two of them in a room together and see what the guys who wear masks in public all the time think about these guys who think it's not cool to wear masks. I think that would be really great.
Well, the thing is, like, the masks that they wear are obviously way cooler than the regular surgical masks.
Oh, yeah, so, but I imagine them in more, like, ones with a surgical mask on already.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce has been reffing in a surgical mask, so.
Don Callis used to wear a mask on commentary all the time, but that's just because he liked it. He used to get these black masks and wear them the whole time, and he used to say, like, he used to stop Minoru Suzuki from seeing how scared he was.
That's like Excalibur. Yeah, he wears a mask all the time because, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, like, that documentary about Sasuke has loads of footage of him in the parliament with the hood on, and he's just, like, introducing laws to protect fucking mountain rescue workers.
So good. What a great man. So I'd say Bob's thing could be, he could walk into that PM's office and just be like, I you gotta go, it's my job now. And I think they'd be like, alright.
I joked with Mel about, like, there was a meeting between all these Japanese wrestling companies and the government to protect the workers' rights for the wrestlers in Japan. And recently, and I just joked with her, I said, I bet Tanahashi gave the emperor and the prime minister an inspirational speech, and he actually fucking did. Like, he just, like, cut this big long speech about how he wants wrestling to be the last sport to come back, so when everybody will know that everything's okay when they see wrestling is back.
Oh, that's great.
And then, like, I saw, like, photos of where he's in the diet, like, addressing the government as they're going, that man is just, like, he's confounding. Like,
I wish he did a guitar solo right in the middle of that, too.
I'm
just
sure
a nice
he did.
Air guitar solo.
I have to imagine he walked out into the stalls then and wiped the sweat off onto
their stalls. Right, yeah, as he walked down the aisle to leave.
But his knees are going to be something else when he gets back. Like, he's probably even got a bit of fluid in them now.
Yeah, these dudes are going
to... I didn't even think about that. He'll actually have some time to, like, recover for 5 seconds.
There's a lot of people who are resting their bodies now.
Yeah.
That's really good then. People are going to come back and it's going to be really good. I mean, I'm glad AEW seems to be doing okay amidst all this, but, like, yeah, I can't even imagine what New Japan will be like when this is all over. Those guys are just going to explode. Well, so, I mean, cause they have some of the most serious, not like taking their practice seriously, not, you know, Michael Elgin serious. But, like, you know, like, but people who take their craft serious enough that when they come back, they're going to go crazy.
The only thing Will Michael Osprey... Elgin takes serious is young girls.
Glad he's not in New Japan anymore. But
No, I'm glad I haven't seen him anywhere. He had some dumb tweet recently. He's a dummy.
Will Ospreay is, like, up to nearly 220 pounds of muscle now.
Yeah, right. He's going to come back a fucking house, dude.
It's going to be weird. Because, like, and Will's a big guy anyway. Like, yeah. People always say, oh, he's a junior heavyweight. I'm like, he's fucking really tall, and his legs are huge. Like, he's one of the few people in my life that I have, like, walked by the person and went, Jesus, those are some legs. He is very impressive, guys. It's going to be weird. Like, they're going to come back with empty arena matches, and then they'll eventually come back to the live venues. It's, as I said to Mel as well, it's kind of unfortunate that the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling speaks a lot more sense than a lot of actual presidents. His address.
Tell me about it, bro.
That's because Harold May is both European and Japanese. Literally, the two ultimate types of people you can be.
Come on, we're gonna have a big, beautiful country here anytime.
I don't know what's going on in the world in that regard. I moved back home, and down here, like, nothing. nothing goes on. Nice. That's great.
I mean, nothing goes on here in this house, really. Like, it's just how much I make sure I don't pay attention to online stuff. Oh, and every once in a while, I check out some things, and I'm just like, I stop myself. Like, I'm going and I'm scrolling. I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, go play a fucking video game, Keith. Like, stop just sitting here and looking at this. Like, this is, like, not good or not.
Well, it's not
going to
help
healthy.
You at this point.
And it doesn't help. No.
Well, it's not going to help you at this point. And the reality of the situation, there's, like, it's you either accept the reality of the situation or you don't.
Yeah. This guy gets to go back to work on Monday. Woo!
Oh, God. I'm so sorry, Bob.
I've melted out as long as I could, and it's either completely lose my job or I have to go back, so.
I have no idea. I tried to go back to work. They kicked me out.
Oh, I counted my weeks based on what I have left in UE, and I'm like, I can go to the end of summer.
Yeah.
I would love to go to the end of summer.
I can make it to the end of summer. If restaurants aren't fully open at full capacity, I'm not going back to work.
No.
Like, I'm not going back at a 50% capacity to make 50% the money. Like, right. No, that's not happening. Like, fuck off.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to make any money. I'm making more. I'll actually take a pay cut going back to work because they're taking my two things. They're because of the stuff with unemployment, making more money, but also they're going to – because I've been off for a month and a half, all my insurance payments that were supposed to be coming out, they'll start taking out extra to make up for what they – were paying while I was, so I'll make even less money.
They were like, you still have your insurance. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, this is if you open again. You're only going to keep this for as long until you can't. Unless we open again, this will carry into that. And I was just like, I don't. I probably might not even go back to where I was working when this is all over. I don't know. No one knows.
Nope.
You know what is great? What?
Oh, no, I was going to say, I told Mel, though, that I'll probably get sent home pretty quickly because when people come in without masks and stuff, I'm just going to walk off the floor and go sit in the office.
Well, people are getting, like, beaten up and shot around here.
Oh, yeah, people are getting beat up and shot everywhere.
For wearing
here.
Them or not wearing
no,
them?
No,
from asking fucking people to just, like, from trying to enforce the fucking state law as it stands right now.
Right.
We have an executive declaration in our state, and then, like, you had the first, like, big story around town was up in Flint where a Dollar General employee had asked a woman to not, or to wear a mask per this.
Yeah, because most places are, like, CVS Pharmacy here. You can't go into the pharmacy without a mask on.
Yeah, dude, that's... The freaking my bodega up the street is like
Costco.
Wear a mask. Any other covering beyond a mask that covers your nose and mouth is not allowed.
Right.
But like they're limiting Costco entrance right here, and they're like, you got to wear a mask. And these people are like, I'll never shop at Costco again. And it's like, oh, okay, cool, because you're not wearing a mask.
The one thing I can't stand though, okay,
yeah,
is all the like. I get it, all right? People are dumb. You have to tell them what to do, all right? But when they overstate what the directions are, I think I made the joke with you guys in the chat where it's like, but Bob, you'll have fresh ears through this, where they say like, oh, wash your hands with soap and water. And you're going, oh, man, I was using like tramp's piss and depleted uranium to wash my hands. You know? Oh, God, fuck.
I was washing my hands in garlic powder breadcrumbs. Shit.
That helps, though. I heard that actually helps, doesn't it? The garlic, it's antibacterial.
It's anti-vampire.
it's certainly
you won't catch vampirism?
Nope. Well, I mean, it's not helping Italy at all, so I don't know what good the garlic is doing.
There's no vampires in Italy. Come on.
Yeah. I actually heard a lady... say this to me once. Was like, I forget what the hell was wrong with me. It might have been like an ear infection or something. And, you know, the whole idea is like, you know, well, use garlic. Garlic? Yes, garlic has some sort of mild, you know, healing quality to it.
Antioxidants.
Well, hang on, Bob. No, Bob, it gets better.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I do like garlic. No, don't eat it. Cut one in half and rub it on the spot, and then leave it underneath the light of a full moon for 24 hours. Yeah.
Was she a gypsy, Matt? Because that sounds
like she's gypsy just shit. A typical white girl professional artist that has made her entire living selling weed and doing art, and
good
nothing
for
else.
Her.
And yeah, good for her, except for the mentality that that sort of fucking completely superfluous fucking existence brings, which is, I'm right about everything, look how good I'm doing.
I mean, you could make a lot of money right now really putting that on, though, you know, if you could get away with it, like get yourself like a little like donkey pulled caravan, just be like going door to door, and just be like... I have great cures for you, you know, and like people would just rubbing garlic on people.
Get some snake heads and a couple of rattles.
That is one thing I've noticed with this whole pandemic is that all the holistic bullshit has shut the fuck up for the last 2 months, haven't they?
I'm gonna put my glasses on to tell you this, so I look smarter when I tell you this. So, are you ready, Matt?
I don't know. Probably not.
You just got to get the hot French semen fresh from the penis, right into your ear. Okay. And that will stop that ear infection.
I made a joke recently. I have to apologize to Mel straight away. Because it's just a joke. Yeah. When I was talking about Hikaru Shida from AEW, and I just said, I don't know, man. She's a very good looking woman. She's very, very fresh looking. I bet if you had a toothache and you went down on her, it'd be cured.
Mel, that might work. We can arrange that.
But
got a toothache right now.
All right, well.
What am I paying for dental insurance? Fuck dental insurance.
That's how you end up sacrificing humans. Because I remember looking at her going, she looks so healthy. I wonder if there's a way to transfer that to someone.
Perhaps it will please the gods if I sacrifice her.
But
human sacrifices. I watched a movie this weekend.
You watched the movie with human sacrifices?
Not really.
Surely, what kind of segue is that?
Matt, like segue.
That's a Matt segue.
Sorry to interrupt you, Matt. Okay, but yes. surely if it's coming to human sacrifices, like surely the gods would be pleased if it was just like, yeah, we just found this Holocaust denier. We'll sacrifice him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the gods are like, man, thanks for taking care of that character.
Actually, seriously, though, if you want one of these...
Go ahead, Mel, before I get out.
I was like, and then the next guy could be one of these dickweeds from fucking Lansing who are the leaders of... Hey, I got a new, you remember Y'all-Qaeda? Was one of the names that they used for these guys? Y'all-Qaeda. Yokel Haram. It's pretty good.
Yokel.
And also the Flu Klux Klan.
that's the best one.
I had an Aldrinai guild in World of Warcraft called the Blue Klux Klan for all of 20 minutes before we got reported.
I was going to say, how long did that last?
About 20 minutes.
We
barely paid the guild. Barely paid the guild dues before they annihilated that one.
Yeah, you don't bring that stuff online, Matt. You make characters in WWE Attitude for PlayStation called Triple K and Super Nazi, and you have them be attacked.
Yeah.
Super Nazi is a great heel name. I'm sorry.
Speaking from experience, Keith.
Shit.
John?
Yeah, I asked her, are you speaking from experience?
Oh, yeah, no, we did that. That's literally the names of two guys we made in WWE Attitude. Triple K and Super Nazi, and they were a heel tag team. Because what else would they be but that?
Well, if history teaches us anything, is that eventually...
High school, man. High school.
Oh, yeah, no, but eventually they would turn babyface, like Baron von Raschke and Fritz von Erich and all those guys.
Right.
And be well-loved. You know, and in the case of the von Erichs, be well-loved in fucking Israel.
Right.
It's not my favorite piece of wrestling bullshit where you're just like going, yeah, the von Erichs, literally a Nazi family dynasty in kayfabe terms. And, like, they're the most beloved wrestling family in Israel.
Israel.
It's like Kevin Von Erich to this day still has, like, endorsement deals in Israel. But, that's I remember everyone was saying, like, Goldberg said he wanted to wrestle his final match in Tel Aviv. And everyone's like, oh, maybe you can wrestle one of the Von Erichs.
Wrestle him in front of the wailing wall.
You can wrestle one of the Von Erichs and get booed. They're just like, fuck off, Goldberg.
That's so bizarre.
They just would boo him because of that stupid tribal armband tattoo.
Oh, yeah, they're just like, you gotta be buried in one of our special graveyards.
Yep, right.
You have besmirched yourself.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So speaking of human sacrifice.
I'm going on.
I watched the documentary.
What did I do? God, what are we doing this week?
I watched the documentary Hail Satan? Because curiosity got the better of me, and I had to watch.
What is this?
You haven't heard of this? Okay.
No. Hail Satan?
Hail Satan?
Say it like that. Hail Satan?
Kind of, yes. And it's a documentary following, God, I'm going to fuck it up, a specific grouping, I believe, called the Temple of Satan or the Chapel of Satan. I forget.
Those are the Satanic Temple. They're the guys who put the Satan statues up in the courthouses.
The Baphomet statues. Never yes. Satan, but yes. And yeah, and it's an interesting watch that I recommend all of you watch because, like everything, they're just trolls. They're just fucking trolls until they're not. And it's one of those documentaries where it's like, every time someone starts something with good intentions, it's literally just a matter of 2 years before some fucking cunt comes and tries to make it serious. And
yeah,
that's whenever.
Or the one who's at the top suddenly shows true colors at some point along the way or like feels the power.
Ironically, this one, the guy who started it, kept his stripes pretty fucking obvious all the way through. It's when they started expanding. Certain people decided that fuck the tenets that this group actually stands for, which was literally all, like, it could all be summed up with, don't be a dick. And if people are being dicks, don't be a dick back at them, beat them at their own game. Like, the whole idea with the Baphomet statue was, in the U.S., there is supposed to be a federal law cutting, you know, the division between church and state. And the states that refuse to accept that law, as highly illegal as it is, we're not going to fight them. We're just going to push to have our shit up too. And by doing so, they make all these Bible thumpers fucking backpedal on their fucking decisions to put up this very not divided shit. And they even come out and say, it's like, we're not after the employee that wants to put a little Christmas tree on their workbench while they're working. We're talking about tax or private money being represented as a religious thing on federal ground. That is what we are after. We don't give a fuck what you believe in or what you think or what you do in your own private territory. We're talking an actual division of state and church. And
but so, how am I supposed to live a self-fulfilling life if I can't see my own beliefs reflected in the outside world as well? Then I am merely nothing.
Well, yes,
where's my meaning?
But unfortunately,
I want a haircut.
But unfortunately, like everything else, like Johnny would say, cunts in all cultures. You know, eventually people take this trolling mentality and build a real religion around it and start calling for the death of actual fucking people. And it's like one of these things, like. When I was in my 20s, I would have been all about.
Matt, I'll just cut to the chase there, right? Oh,
yes.
It's a documentary about a bunch of people who worked themselves into a shoot. Okay.
Right.
Not quite.
That is human history in a nutshell.
It's like the dudes who tried to make like Jedi's a real religion and the
that could work, Keith. Monster. That could work. Well, Jedi's could work, Keith.
Yeah, and there you go.
Did you not learn any lessons from Ahsoka at all about how like any kind of order is wrong, no matter?
No, what I actually have a theory that any cult that gets started, no matter what for the reason, someone eventually wants to take over because there's free sex involved.
Oh yeah,
that's their whole goal. I mean, that's their whole goal because always the cult leader.
Always
has a harem of women around them.
Well, I used to joke about
It's always two things in a cult, you know, race war and sex cult.
Sex.
Yeah.
But I had a joke about I was talking about communism. And I just said, like, the idea, you know, day one of communism, everybody gets together and they go, right, what are we doing here? Like, well, we're securing rights for the workers and we're making sure that, like, the normal people, the normal working people aren't going to be trampled on by monarchies and corporations and all that. And right. Then, like,
charge.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but this, no, but here's the thing, right? You go, the first guy, like, there's a guy who's there on day one and he goes, man, that all sounds fucking fantastic. Listen, I gotta go away for a week, but I'll come back for next week's meeting and we can talk out the finer details. And they go, yeah, and he comes back next week and they've had meetings every day since. And then he walks in as they just go, okay, and yeah, we'll just put people we don't like in camps then, yeah? Like, cause somewhere along the way, like, good intentions paved the road to camps. Right? That's what
I like that version of that quote. Yeah. It's a very true one.
It's just like, sooner or later, if you get very specific about how the world needs to be, you're going to start building a camp. And you know who's going to be in that camp? People who don't want to be in camps. Which is everybody.
Look, man, right? Our dollar isn't worth the paper it's fucking printed on. We can't get simple antibiotics. Our kids are dying of ear infections. Something needs to be done. 3 weeks later. Okay, so we're just not going to look to the West anymore, ever. In fact, it's illegal to look past this gated area.
It's, I don't know. Like, it's just power structures and all that kind of nonsense just seem to spring up out of the fucking... It's like we, I don't know, it's like we're a fetid arsehole. And it's just like we shit this crap into existence every time that we try to...
As a member of a LARP, a LARP I don't go to anymore. Yeah. Like, let's play society in the post-apocalypse. Well, somebody's going to be a dick and somebody's going to start fucking with everyone. And usually... If the person's playing a dick as the character and they're doing it well, there's no problem. But most of the time, it's someone being a dick because they just want to be a dick and they're a dick in real life, too. And they fuck up everything.
If nerds are in charge of anything, it is on a fucking timer. Because I'm sorry, and yes, I am one of these people.
It's not just nerds, though. You cannot isolate it to nerds. Nerds are just activism, political parties, groups of people in a community. Sports. I played club sports. It was one of the most political bullshitty thing ever. Regionally, locally. Yeah.
Can I actually highlight something that might get corrupted? Keith, in the next hopefully 2 weeks, all right, you're going to receive a letter from the Workers' Ghost Story Party. And I'm not going to tell you.
What party?
The Workers' Ghost Story Party. Okay?
Ghost Story Party.
Yeah. And okay. I'm not going to clarify any further what that is, okay? But I just want to say right now that I don't want... that to turn into a hell for all of us, okay?
What? But, I don't know what the hell, what?
You will receive an official...
What did you sign me up for, John? You asked for my address. What did you sign me up for? You dox me with some weirdo group.
Listen, he's like your best friend, all right? Just go with it.
I know, John's the best. It's gonna be fun.
Let's
think about what he sent Matt last time, and I can only dream of what's coming in the mail.
All else is, there's a ghost story in it.
Oh, cool.
Included with your invitation.
You can't resist, man.
Here's the thing. This part, like the story itself, is like I kind of had to. I realized I went in a little bit hard on some of the jokes. I was like, you know what? I better prime Keith for this because
why? No, you listened to any of the recent episodes where I've talked about stuff?
No,
about
because
all that?
They're not caught up anyway. No. We're not that far behind.
Because okay. I hopefully want Keith to read out the story I've written for him.
Oh, I love to do a dramatic reading. That would be
just
great.
I think Matt will enjoy in particular. But yeah, the address, that's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing because I put a very specific postcode on. And it's a good time.
Oh boy, this will be great.
This is what happens when John loses his internet. He goes really, really hard.
Well, I'm very excited.
I know that you had started doing the letter writing thing before as just a thing because of all of your, like, John has whims. He's a whimsical person.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple of letters ready to go. One to you, Mel. One to Keith, one to Kyle, one to my friend Claire up in Toronto. So I've a few that I'm gonna get shipped out in the next couple of days. But the idea for the workers' ghost story party, it's been in my head for a long time. So I just needed to get it out there. But it's Keith, I'll
for
tell
the
you
people.
No,
the ghost people.
I'll give one thing away. The slogan is "Let's scare capitalism to death." All right?
John, you brilliant.
So good. Oh my, I can't wait to read it. It's gonna be so good. Yeah. No, yeah, over the, you'll have to listen back to some of the episodes because I'm just like, I'm so tired of like all that stuff, but it doesn't mean I don't not hate capitalism any less.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you'd
it's more like just don't, it's, you know.
I think you've been pretty good as a person who's been editing for the most part. I mean, not the year like, but you've been pretty good.
Yeah, just like all that. It's more like, you know, liberal bullshit is bullshit.
So I do have to sincerely apologize to you because unfortunately your gain was turned down really, really low. So it was really hard. The most recent one I've posted from today.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But at some point, Matt wandered off and you were doing like really nice things where you were plugging everybody and really so light. And I was like, I just can't pull this shit up high enough. So it's like,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just want to apologize to you because thanks for all the love, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
Party people. Keith loves everyone that he's friends with, and, you know, he's a cool dude.
Unless you're some filthy capitalist.
But you didn't talk about capitalism. You talked about John, you talked about Matt, you're so nice, and Kyle, who's awesome, and of course, not you, Bob, though. He didn't say anything nice about you.
I know. He fucking hates me.
I totally despise my Jedi bro over here. Yeah, you're right.
The worst time. It's the worst.
Let's start that religion. You're right. It could work, Bob.
I think you guys are cute.
Only if it was gray, man. Only if it was gray.
Zach, well, then we can't do anything. Then we're not allowed to start anything.
No, that's not true because the original Jedis were like rangers. They traveled around. They helped people. They had families. There were loose affiliations with them in different sectors. So there wasn't a council, but they worked with each other to help. Like, if they have something really big happen, they would contact each other and they would come together to fight that big thing. But then they would just travel around with their families and loved ones to help people out. So it would work. And that's how it was supposed to be. But then some guys went bad and shit happened. And so the Jedi made the Jedi Council the way that we know it, which was, no, you can't have any of those things, because if you have those things, it'll fuck shit up.
I can see the chain of events here, okay?
Yeah.
You've got a nice young Jedi, all right? And he's going along, he's built his lightsaber, you know, and he's doing all this shit. And he meets a nice young woman, and eventually she dumps him because he's a fucking nerd Jedi. And she's like, I don't like fucking rat tail mullets, all right? Get out of here. And eventually, you know, and he's there going, oh man, everything sucks, all right? The whole world is shit. Everything's just darkness right now. And that's when you get your first Dark Sith Jedi. He goes, yeah, I'm a Dark Jedi. I'm like the Undertaker if he was a Jedi.
Edgelord. Was that his name, Edgelord?
Yeah, so that's how that goes.
He locked himself in his room with playing The Cure Disintegration.
I was actually listening to Pornography the other day.
Oh, that's a good album too.
And it was funny because I could only find the second CD. And I was there going, which cunt in the last 10 years stole the first disc of the fucking
I hate when that actually happens.
Yeah, you know, and now I got the internet back, so it doesn't matter. Like, but
So I got to tell you a funny, now that we're on compact discs, for all you young kids out there, they're a thing that you used to listen to music on. Go ask your parents.
All the kids would be up on it now because all the young hip kids are all into physical media.
Yeah, it's true, actually. So there's a funny story. So when Mel and I first got together and she first moved in, so I was one of those guys that meticulously alphabetized all of my CDs, like crazy alphabetized them. So I went to listen to a CD one time, and we'll say that Mel was less than
look at the,
caring
look at
for all of – what's that?
Look at Mel's face. She's like, you're bringing this shit up again.
It's been 20 years. I'll never forget.
I'm not even married to Bob, and I'm making the same face Mel's making right now.
Alphabetizes her fucking CDs.
Nobody. Who has?
Thank you.
Hang on. I'll be right back. I think I have my what's left of my CD collection here. I'll be back in 2 minutes. I want to see if I actually have it.
Damn.
Oh, shit. So anyway, so I went to look for a CD, and it was the first actual, like, weird meltdown I had in my head as a, with her and I as a relationship, because I could not find a fucking CD. And she was like, no, it's on the shelf. I was like, where is it? It's on the shelf. Well, it's fucking should be under R. Where is it at? I don't know. It's on the first row there. Well, that's not fucking R, is it?
I want to listen to Rush, Mel.
I can't find fucking Rush right now.
Yeah, I watched a documentary there about VHS tapes. I think it's called Rewind This. And it was actually produced by Panos Cosmatos, the guy who directed Mandy.
And, oh, shit, cool.
Yeah, but there was this woman in it, and she had the best organization thing I've ever seen. She goes, yeah, I just organize it by color. So she has all her VHS tapes in her books, and she goes, like, RGB down, like, and she just has, she's like, oh, yeah, that's a green tape. I know where that is. And it looks great. I was like, that's a really neat way of, it's like a gradient running down her shelves.
But I
was telling Matt, like, there was a documentary that I watched about cassette tapes as well. Like, and what was funny about it was, like, there was all these people, like, talking about the impact that the cassette tape had on the music world, you know, and all these young people buying cassette tapes. But the whole thing was centered around interviews with the guy who actually invented the cassette tape, and he didn't give a fuck about it.
Of course he didn't.
Well, he was like this like stoic engineer who's there going, I only care about the future, and now I have no energy to influence the future because I am old.
Wow.
And yeah, it was just like all these people waxing lyrical about what tapes mean to them, and he's just like, yeah, it's meaningless. Tripe. Like,
oh god, that sounds great. That reminds me of Rockefeller Explosion, but like a little reverse, where, like, you know, they show all the fans being crazy for stuff, and then the creator being like, you know, never know when we're gonna open up the factory again, you know, might need this thing here, this thing there, and it's like, dude, it's not happening.
Coming back.
Like the other guy's like, it's over, my life is over, and the other guy's like, you never know, and it's like, you know what, horseshoe, man, you guys are both at the same fucking spot right now. Yeah. One's accepted it, and one's denying it.
But with the cassette thing, the difference there was, like, the guy who was Dynamic Robots or whatever, like, he was, like, hanging on to his, like, moment in the sun. But the other guy, like, literally couldn't care less. And he's like, oh, yeah, I also invented the CD to kill the tape. And it's just... It's not a great documentary, to be fair. It knocked in an afternoon, but, like, it was... It's just funny, like, the irony of all these people talking about how much they love tapes, and, like, museums where they're going, oh, we collect tapes because they're, like, an important kind of folk collection of noise, and, like, the old guys just, they're going, yes, well, I will die soon, just like tapes.
Okay. Jesus. Johnny, so you'll appreciate this. I can't find what's left in my CD collection because it's in a trunk that is not currently in my apartment right now. However, I did find my metal Slipknot fucking lunchbox that I have had since I was 14 that I used to put all the free promotional shit from every concert I've ever been to from ages like 12 to 25.
Well, isn't that precious?
Isn't it? First thing I pulled out of here is actually a fucking clothing catalog from a company called Room 13. Tagline, demonic design gutterwear for a world of hurts.
I definitely used to get one. I can't remember the name, but I definitely used to get one of those magazines.
Oh
I'm like, I'm
copyright 1997. Holy shit.
Wow. I'll be back in a second. I have to go let the cat downstairs.
Okie dokie. Man, this is a cool box full of dumb shit.
That was code from him. I gotta go let the cat downstairs.
Oh, gross. Ozfest 2002 summer sampler and all sorts of shit. Man.
I threw out a bunch of that stuff. It was at my mom's. And
I did too. This is just the shit that fucking survived. Cry for Dawn. Okay, I don't even know who this band was, but I never even popped the cellophane on the sampler. I guess I did not.
You got it from Ozfest. That was a free sample someone gave you at Ozfest.
It very well could have been, man.
I went over Warped Tour with a ton of samples, I remember. They would just, like, throw that shit at you on CDs.
I've got
every member.
Literally throw it at you. They were
literally
all
throw it at you.
I've got every member of the band Il Nidio's autograph. I don't own a single fucking album of theirs, but here it is. I ripped open the summer sampler. I got two of them. I ripped one open so that they could sign their little promotional thing on the inside packet. Oh, man.
If only I had created an audio deliverance device that was more aerodynamic like the CD, perhaps it would have lasted just a bit longer. But like the cassette, I will also die. But unlike the cassette, you cannot rewind my life. I will play it till the end, and my tape will snap, and I will finally die, and the curse will be lifted.
Slipknot, wow. Mushroom Head, Metallica, and Slayer picks, each that I have collected. But here's the real treasures. Remember when you were 16 and you and all your friends formed bands? And CD burning technology was brand new and you can make your own demo disc? Ooh, I should play some of these at some point, because goddamn, I seem to have all of them.
It's your own band?
No, it's people I knew who had bands.
They just used my car
to fucking move their shit.
I don't know if I have any of the CDs of it anymore. I had a CD case that sat in a very hot car and the plastic ruined some of my collection from high school, actually. So a lot of my high school collection is gone, sadly. Which is where, like, my friend's band was actually Winthrop Chesterton's band from
the Full Power Podcast.
I know you can find one of their songs online still, and it's an Angel Fire page, and it still fucking exists.
You shared it with us years ago. I think I may have.
It's not one Winthrop sings. It's one my friend Colin sings, but it's funny that the website still exists. Like, yeah, I showed you guys because my picture's on there as the Lazy Roadie because I was. Mm-hmm. That was me.
That was most of my high school career.
That was college. That was like college when I should have been in college.
I was the bouncer and cooler for Battle of the Bands all the time, so I always got all that shit too.
Yeah.
And sometimes we had to throw the bands out, you know.
Fun.
I was the door guy and the money box handler for like ages 17 to 25.
Oh, yeah. I had a money box stolen. That was great.
Yeah, me and my friend Drew, we were at this Battle of Bands. It was huge. And I never forget the band's name because we knew the guys in the band and they were a really good band. I was probably 21, and so we ran the security for it. Mm-hmm. And we specifically, their name was Hieronymus Bosch. And Mel's shaking her head. And they were a really good band, but we had problems at the previous couple Battle of Bands where the mosh pits got really violent because it was during that time. And it's the song I always tell you, I always ask you this, Mel, that's the song, fuck. Anyway, it was a really popular song at that point that, like, made people go crazy.
It's the team from Friends.
Yeah, it's the team from Friends. No, that just made everybody want to get that haircut.
That's the Nine Inch Nails song.
No, it wasn't Nine Inch Nails. It was the Killing in the Name of song.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine. So the winner, they won the Battle of the Band. And when you won, you got to play a set of songs. And so they did that, and they finished with that. And we told them not to finish with that song. And because of who they were, they did it anyway. And it created like a mini riot in the place. So we had to like go in there, and we actually started like having to throwing people at the stage and bouncing them off the stage because people were throwing punches, people were hitting girls,
Like, it got crazy. It, like, what made people go crazy. Yeah, it was hilarious. So
who
we actually
the band? Fucking Gigi Allen?
What's that?
Is it Gigi Allen?
We had a hardcore band do that in American Legion and, like, bust the disco ball. Like,
yeah. Oh, no. The they went just crazy. Asshole. We had to, like, drag people out and, like, actually hit people to – or throw them into things to move them out of the way and stop them from – like, where a guy just turned around and punched some girl right in the mosh pit. It got crazy.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, good times, good times.
That's Rage Against the Machine.
Speaking of good times and music, y'all mind if I do a plug for a friend right now?
No.
It's okay. Your show.
I was going to say.
It's our show, but it's your show.
Matt, I'm mine.
Oh, too bad, Bob.
See?
The Hangovers of Pawtucket are actually doing a live stream from a closed bar this coming Friday. That would be May 22nd. Starts at 8 o'clock. You can do it on facebook.com/draftscafe- It's all one word. I'll put up a link. But, yeah, they're going to stream a whole set from a closed bar because, you know, a lot of local bands been doing that shit lately, too. And this was supposed to be one of their big shows that they were going to play live, but can't anymore. So, yeah, if anyone's into it, they're really good.
We'll put it up on our social media. Just send me the links.
We'll do. I know John's met Mike, the player of this band, but I don't know if the rest of you have or not. But he's a good guy, and I would like to show him some love. So if you guys are listening and you like good Johnny Cash meets Motorhead style music, I would recommend you listen to his band. It's you know, obviously he's a friend of mine, so take this with a grain of salt. One of the best local bands I've heard in a long time. Very good shit. Give it a listen. And hell, if you like their music, it's on iTunes and anywhere else where digital music is sold. So go nuts. So. There, just figure I'd give my buddy a little plug.
Do it,
because I'll sit. But
yeah. And so COVID descends upon society like the CD and the CD burner that came and destroyed my dynasty and crushed me forever. Now you all shall know my pain.
It's almost like people with multimedia technology shouldn't fucking think that their piece of technology will be the be all end all forever.
Yeah. He never did. The guy, like, what's funny is, like, in the documentary, they passed by, like, a music festival, like, a huge one, and he didn't care about it. And as they're going, yeah, I bet if you walked into the back of that and, like, just got a bunch of rappers and just went, hey, you know the tape? Like, that this guy invented it. They'd freak out.
He would be like forced to be excited at a point, like, you know, like it wouldn't matter anymore that death was creeping over him if a bunch of rappers were like, you're the fucking shit, mix, like they would go, yeah, totally, the mixtape is so significant.
Yeah, and the same with like there's a bunch of punk bands in that documentary as well, and they're just talking about like Henry Rollins is in it, and he's talking about like what tapes meant to punk or whatever. And yeah, it's funny. I never know that he had a Black Flag tattoo on the back of his neck. And I was there going, at least you can't see it, huh, Henry? Like, you know, it's like it's not staring you in the face. You have to remember that band that everybody fucking hates you from now. But look, Black Flag as a band. From what I don't think there's any two members of it that like each other.
Yeah, and that and he gets to be the one where most people go like, oh, I only like Rollins Black Flag. You know what I mean? But so like, it's got that.
I'll listen to Rollins Black Flag, but earlier stuff is, you know, I don't know, like Jealous Again. Well, that's the Black Flag stuff I like.
But, I was never into any of the flag bands. No Black Flag or Anti-Flag ever for me. I never really got.
I mean, look, if I'm listening to 80s hardcore punk, I want to listen to Bad Brains anyway. But you know, amen. I would listen to Black Flag. I don't. Punk is such a fucking pretentious genre of music, though. Like, I don't know how you can turn trying to be humble into being like.
It's all art is corrupted, man. Like, it just goes from being a genuine thing, and then some asshole decides it's a fashion statement. It makes them better than other people, not just their own person.
And then it turns into a terrible thing, and then a guy builds a couple bands, and then we argue forever who was the first punk band, like it's some kind of fucking competition, when everybody knows that the MC5 is kind of the first punk band, and you can take both the Sex Pistols and the Ramones and throw them away, because neither of them would have existed if it wasn't for the MC5, so what do you want? Like,
I don't know.
I win the competition. I'm the smart stick man.
If I go for a Detroit band that has an influence on punk, I'd always put the Stooges at the MC5, personally. Just because, MC5 are a little bit too accomplished musically, you know? Like
they are a lot better of a band than a lot of the early.
they could actually play their instruments.
Yeah,
that's that kind of
the emotion behind it. The idea behind it, I think, is more the punk of it. You know what I mean?
I just like bands that you can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, I got a lot of bands for you then, Bob.
Yeah, those are my favorites. When it just sounds like I'm screaming at the top of my lungs into the mic, and I can't understand anything.
Yeah. Well, Bob, what you can do is you can hang out in taverns and listen to fucking elves.
Look on Bob's face. I'm so sorry I just did that. Oh my god, what a visual show we have. We need to start streaming shit.
Yeah, you can go listen to fucking listen to elves sing about Frodo and his nine fingers.
Frodo
and the nine fingers in the ring of doom.
Yeah, that was good, Bob.
Yeah, see, I got some shit going.
Down to Goblin Town, you go, my lad.
We've lost Mel. We've
yeah,
lost
Mel's,
Mel's down.
Off of her,
Mel's down. Mel's down.
The I actually started reading Lord of the Rings again recently, because I kind of was curious where they were going. I read it when I was a kid. I was going, I'm not sure if this is a well written book or not. Like, I had this thing in my head where I was like, it's been so long since I've read this, I'm not sure if it's a good book. And as I was reading it, I was like, no, this guy's a really good writer. Like, he really knew how to set a scene and how to kind of, I mean, there's, it's like, when they used to talk about Lord of the Rings being unfilmable, I think part of the reason was that there'd be just like, Gandalf came to Frodo and said, "This ring is dangerous, man. We might need to do something about it." 14 years later, Gandalf comes back to like, "Okay, no, go, get out of here." And Frodo
had
like,
to go figure out if that was really the ring. That's the thing.
But he's like, Frodo's like, "I'm 50 now.
Right.
I am literally an old man." But it's
No, I've did that over the last couple of years. Is went back and reread a bunch of books from when I was like a kid or a teenager or in high school or early college, shit that they made you read. I've went back and reread it, and some of them really, I was like, oh, okay, like I still really enjoy that. And some I was like, my perspective is really different now.
Some are up in thin air, which are just the worst books to ever read ever.
I haven't done that in forever, but just Lord of the Rings wise, quarantine has gotten my sibling into the Lord of the Rings movies, and they fucking love them now.
Oh yeah,
and they never would have watched them 20 years ago when they came out.
Well, the reason I got into the book again was I realized I was there going, I've replaced the knowledge of the book in my head with just the film version.
Right.
But that's not it. And like, because I remember when I watched the film, I was there going, I don't know, man, the elves didn't seem like they were this kind of fucking when I read it. Like, the elves have a lot more personality and variance. You know, in the movies, they're all just like fucking Instagram filter people. It's just like...
Just depends on which elves they are.
Yeah, they're just like...
Come, Frodo, look into the bowl, and it will give you a sick Instagram filter to clear up those pores so no one will notice.
But like, Galadriel...
Also, you'll see your death.
But Galadriel was a bit like that, but she was the only one.
Yeah.
And then like, but like when they meet other elves, they like, they're funny and they're like actual three-dimensional characters. They're not just fucking Aryan fucking.
Right. Well, they had a mash in the movies. They mashed a bunch of the characters like that, the elvish characters that were sort of, minor characters, they mashed them all together and to make like one elvish character like that. So
I will say, like, the films, like, there's no black people in those films, like, as this honky fest that those movies are. And I did think to myself, I was there going, if you were to redo those films, a really interesting way to go would be to make Boromir and his whole family black. And, like, they are the stewards of Gondor, and they have to be like, yeah, we're the guys keeping the White City, you know, together, but they'll never accept us. Like, I kind of like that angle.
I see, that's nice, yeah.
You know, and literally, that'd be just an excuse for me as a filmmaker to go, listen, can we get somebody to look like the guy from Conan the Destroyer? Bombada? Like, can Barbara have...
Some of the evil humans were black.
I was going to say, they were
riding the elephants were black.
They were black and Middle Eastern.
Of course they were.
Of course they were, right?
They were fucking New Zealanders.
get Michael Jai White in there, man. Get him to play, like, Faramir or something.
I just get him to do anything, you know? Like, the only problem with him is
he could be one of the Orukai or something. He could be that lead Orukai guy, and like, don't even put any makeup on him while all the other guys are in makeup.
L. Jackson.
Oh wait, that's
the steward of Gondor. What y'all motherfuckers doing in my fucking cats?
I want to apologize for equating being black to being an orc. I know there's been quite the discussion online recently with D&D and races and stuff like that, and what the representations mean. So I apologize to anyone listening.
Oh, that's not D&D's fault. That's completely fucking that movie Bright's fault. That is 100% fucking Will Smith's
fault. Oh, no. Gary Gygax is very much like he's said some shit back in the day. I've read some old quotes of his. He's said some racy stuff, let's say.
A white nerd in the 70s said some racially insensitive shit? My God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a proud tradition of fantasy racists like Robert E. Howard and H.P. Lovecraft and all these guys, you know?
Fucking nerds, man.
Well, and again, we've talked about this before, is that we can take a look at their writings and be okay with their writing because of what it is and not with the author necessarily themselves. And some of it is blown out of proportion, and I'm not being apologetic to anything, but some of it's blown out of proportion, and some of it had to be realized, again, of the times, and you have to take that into account in the fact that those are still important to have around because of those things, so.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing with Harry Potter now, where you're like, you know, guys, I think we have way too much time to be interpreting what this lady wrote now. Like,
she's become full Lucas and tried to, like, go back and revise her own shit now.
But well, it's like, here's the thing. You can't say, like, J.K. Rowling without someone being like, what are you, some kind of turf? Are you a turf like her? And I'm like, what did she say? What did she, what?
First of all, I don't know what a turf is. And second of all, I don't want to know what it is. But third of all right, all these people, they spend hours and hours and weeks and months of their lives poring over, let's face it, books that were written for children, okay? Mm-hmm. Grow the fuck up and read something like as an adult, you know.
Read Moby Dick, motherfucker.
Listen, if it's one thing that Charlie's Angels and Ghostbusters have taught us, it's that if you take popular franchises and put an all-girl hate man-agented story into them, they will do gangbusters. So stop knocking it, John.
It's I just can't wait for you know, when they do the female reboot of Jushin Thunder Liger's career.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And you know, he ends up having fucking, you know, mud matches in 9 years time.
Bra and panty matches.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, about women's wrestling.
I was just gonna say bra and panty match.
But like, women's wrestling, like it's whatever people have now, don't be complaining about it. Because I went back and watched some stuff from 1999 the other day, and it was, it was something. And I was watching a documentary about wrestling managers, actually, and there's just this clip of Vince McMahon going, well, you know, now a lot of the managers are women, because the audience likes to look at women.
Good God.
Not even the men in the audience, just the whole audience.
Yeah.
The audience.
I don't think he's wrong. It's fucked, but I don't think he's wrong.
But I don't know. It's the idea of I've no problem if somebody makes a film and they decide not to cast any one type of particular person in any particular role. Like, and I also don't have a problem if someone go, like, they're like, oh, you know, we cast this person because we wanted to spice up the cast a bit or whatever. It's fine. Doesn't matter. But it shouldn't be seen as a virtue to put a, like, a black person in an all-white cast and be like, hey, man, listen, this is basically what Martin Luther King was trying to do, right?
As I've been fond of saying recently, Black Panther came out how many years ago? I don't see life any better for black people in my country.
Well, I mean, what was it? Night of the Living Dead is the prime example of what should be followed, where yes. Dwayne Jones got that point part. Why? Because he was the best actor who tried out for it. And that's what it should be.
So you're saying you don't want the all-girl version of Stand By Me?
Oh, God.
No, that'd be awesome, man.
Hey, guys, want to see a dead body? No, let's go to the mall instead. Roll credits.
Ah.
No, it was set in the 50s, man. There is no malls. Come on.
Yeah, so want to go to the hair salon and smoke cigarettes instead? Yes.
They'd never leave the house. They'd all be on the rag.
Matt, I think you can dig a little deeper for some sexual stereotyping there. You'd go to the mall.
They would go to the malt shop, okay?
Sexist
enough
for
let's go have a slumber party and talk about boys.
Well, then I'll go. Let's go to the white part of town where we're safe.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a given.
Let's go to the white shop where they only let white people in.
Right.
Right, of course.
Right.
Let's go to the literal other side of the tracks. No, thank you.
Fuck that side.
Did you guys see The Outsiders? Come on.
Do you guys want to see a dead body? Is it a white body?
I can't wait to see the all, I don't know why I'm on such a Stephen King kick right now, but the all-female version of fucking Shawshank Redemption.
Jesus God.
Didn't they make that already? It's Orange is the New Black.
Think of that, too.
Oh.
There he is. Oh, I was trying to find the one, and Bob found it. In my head, I was like, wait, come on. There's gotta be... Damn it, Bob beat me to it. Very nice.
Well, there's been plenty of women in prison films as well.
Oh, God, that's a whole genre from the 80s, man. They're in the early 90s. 70s. And 70s, yeah. With
they had
the,
a lot of the... they weren't even blaxploitation, they were just exploitation films.
Ones where it's like bikini clad maids of Commando Island.
Right.
It's always like an island prison.
I never saw the appeal in them.
Nah,
like, you know, it's like a lot of the sexploitation stuff, I'm just like, I would just rather watch pornography. Right. Yeah, I mean, like, why would I settle for this when I could see the dick go in? You know, that's the question.
Well, that's what makes it.
I'm going to put my glasses on to seem smarter again. To be fair, the pornography in the 80s wasn't so good.
Oh, no, look, pornography has never been any good.
Yeah.
Right? There's no golden age of pornography. Right?
Like, it's, the 80s was the golden age of pornography because you had the glam pornography, except all those died of AIDS.
Well, that's the thing, and if you were
serious, that's what really happened. There was like a big thing that went on, and there was all this glam stuff where they started to almost become mainstream pornography, and then so many people died of AIDS because they weren't doing testing and the stuff that they were supposed to be doing that it like set back the industry, and then videos came out.
Bob, I have something even better for you guys. I heard recently. So we all know award shows, right?
Uh-huh.
And we all know the Oscars and the Golden Globes.
Oh, there's a point award show.
Yeah, yes, the AVNs. Thank you, Bob. Yes. Well, did you know the AVNs have something that those other award shows also have?
What's that?
Kate? God.
This year in pornography, we lost.
That's gotta be about 15 minutes long.
It's a real thing. So, Bob, you're not wrong in this. Like, yeah, it happened in the 80s, and they recognize it now. And heard someone tell a story recently who went to one of those actually hosted the award shows. Right. It was an interview with a comedian, this woman. She hosted the award shows. And she said when one guy came up on screen, the one person who she was there with, she was just like, crystal meth.
Right.
Like it's just they – dude, it's – I think hers might have been like the gay adult video awards I think that she did actually. But either way, funny to just like –
for
can you imagine what their like shots look like? Are they
yeah.
shots of them like
dick in their mouth.
Have you ever watched one of the APNs like that just for shits and giggles?
Honestly, no.
Oh my god, you have to watch it because it's just what Keith is saying too. Because it's like, best dick sucking.
Oh yeah. But I'm saying like that, but it's like date like 1978 to 2013.
Right. Yeah, right. No, that's what it's like though.
Either that or it's them looking back seductively at the camera with their arsehole showing.
Yeah, but you know what? One disease that no porn star has ever died from?
What's that, man?
COVID-19.
Why? Because they're all dead.
Because they're all swallowing that cum. That's
No, I heard the new thing is if you smoke weed, you might be okay.
Oh, of course. Another notch in the belt for the wonder drug for all the retards to fucking cheer for. Great.
No, but you have it wrong because you have to lace it with semen.
Yes.
That's why it's such a hard thing because, I mean, as soon
it's always hard.
Yeah, but that's the thing. As soon as it leaves the dick, it starts losing potency every second.
You've got 5 minutes, guys. Five minutes. That's all you got. And every 30 seconds, it gets a little weaker.
You've got to get it into that blunt fast and smoke it while it's still fresh.
I'm still stuck on fucking movie remakes with all female casts. I really want to see Laura of Arabia. Like, come on.
Well,
like, what?
I think we went through this before. There's only, like, there's like a few.
We did talk about this. Yeah.
Did we?
Bloodsport, I said.
Yes, that was one we thought we really.
This was a conversation. Yeah.
Highlander, I think, would be all right if you got the right cast and the right motivations.
Not that they're aliens.
Oh, no, but imagine how crazy it'd be if a woman found out she was an immortal when she was, like, 6 months pregnant. And she had an immortal 6-month-year-old in her belly for hundreds of years. Like, she's perma-pregnant.
So that would mean she would have, if you're going by the rules of the movies, that would mean that she would have died while she was pregnant.
Yeah, and so would the baby.
Yeah, and so would the baby.
Yeah, and the baby would be an immortal, too.
Yeah.
So they'd both be immortal. But the
baby would never grow up. She'd be like the little girl from Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, she'd have to carry her around in a jar.
Yeah.
Imagine how crazy that'd be.
I'm just imagining the sword fight. Imagining the sword fight. The mom's got both the hands like locked down, holding a sword, and just a dagger comes out of the stomach and right to the other guy.
Oh, I was thinking like dropping out, like her skirt with the umbilical cord still attached. Like, you know, you can handle a one-on-one fight, but how about 2v1? And the baby drops out with like a sword in its hand, half grown.
I can't even move its legs. Your one runs with the other woman, and just the umbilical cord is stretching her further and further.
Yeah, and she strangles the other immortal with the umbilical cord.
She's kicking the baby around on the cord like Go-Go with the ball and chain from fucking Kill Bill.
Oh yeah, she shoots her out. Shoots it out like a yo-yo ball.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Pulls on the cord, the baby pulls out 2 fucking blades from nowhere.
Get over here!
Right. You know, we jest. There's got to be a Japanese movie that's done this.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere. Yeah.
I've seen a baby ninja before, like right out the uterus. Movie called SARS Wars back in the day from Korea, I believe. Zombified mom squirts out a zombified baby, but the baby moves like a fucking jaguar. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hate those baby zombies that can move like jaguars.
They're the worst. Yeah.
Or jaguars.
Jaguar babies that can move like zombies.
Well, there you go.
Which, that would make them useless.
Yeah, that'd be less scary.
They're more intimidating when they move that slow.
I'm going to quickly sprint away from this jaguar zombie.
Zombies.
Just going to quickly walk away.
I'll just go in the other direction. It's not even a problem.
Oh, but they don't get tired.
Well, I get tired when I'm walking.
We've all seen It Follows, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It turns out those are not so hard to avoid. Like it doesn't matter if it's constantly in motion. If it can only walk at like 2 miles per hour, you're fine.
Oh yeah, but it's when
you can always put it. Yeah, you can always put enough distance, but like. The only reason that thing was scary is because it could look like anything.
Right.
If you're a zombie, you're fine. You know what's funny, thinking about
zombie movies and thinking about Night of the Living Dead? That movie pretty much ends with, like, nah, we got it taken care of, boys, taking out these zombies. Like, there's no, like, indication that, like, and the world fell into chaos. It was like, no, it was one crazy fucking night, but these guys moved slow and they took care of it. You know, and it's not till later when, like, the 70s and 80s hit where it's like, we're fucked.
Well,
for, like,
so
every
in Dawn of the Dead, though, they talked about that, was that they thought they had the virus beat. Because at the beginning of Dawn of the Dead...
It's a continuation.
Yeah, because at the beginning of Dawn of the Dead, that's what happened, is they thought they had the virus beat, but there was an outbreak. Because remember, the police broke into that, whatever it was, and there was people in there that were...
Projects where they had locked themselves down.
Yeah, where they were sick. And so that's how... And it started a whole other outbreak.
Yeah, that really racist cop.
Yeah, yes. Ken Frey is there going, hey man, come on now.
Come on, fellas.
Come on, man, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a... I think they just have to come up with an excuse, basically.
Oh, yeah, that movie. I love that movie so much. Thinking about that old black priest, like, coming out of, like, the closet with all the smoke, and you're like, what, is this a comedy? What's going on here?
the end of the film with the biker gang attacking the shopping
Ball.
Center.
Yeah.
That's a great ending, you know, with with Tom Savini's palace in Tasso doing the fucking test your pulse test and the zombie rips his arm off.
Just one of the gang members, the Mexican one, because he's wearing a sombrero, who gets in there.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh.
He's actually Greek. That guy is in real life. Tasso is. Because I remember there was some, like, commentary or interview or something about an old horror film. And this woman talked about him. She goes, oh, and Tommy brought along his little Greek boy to help.
Yeah, that's the only part of that that makes no sense, is why that guy is that obsessed with checking his blood pressure that it gets him killed. It's just a silly moment. Like, that movie's full of them. Like, it's, but I love the more serious one. Like, I love when all of those bikers are going around and you get the shot of Flyboy, like, looking through the bench. He's like, it was ours. We took it. It's ours. And, like, and he just, oh, fuck. God damn it. I love that fucking movie.
Did you ever see the remake of Night of the Living Dead where the
remake?
From the 90s where the girl becomes, instead of becoming hysterical like in the original Night of the Living Dead. Right, she goes and she becomes a badass.
Yeah, no, I really like that one because I like that, obviously, he looked at the original movie and went, well, why did all those zombies show up to the house? Because you made a bunch of fucking noise barricading it.
Right.
And they drive that point home in Savini's remake, and I always really liked that.
Yep.
So, and yeah, and then it's great. She becomes a badass who escapes at the end. She's just like, fuck this. Like, I'm not hanging out here with you asshole. And she becomes a bad. Yeah, it's really good. I like that. You know, that's a good one. That is a really good read.
You know, in the original Night of the Living Dead, I love that scene where Ben is describing the truck hitting the petrol station.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you feel like you've seen it. Like, at the end of the film, you go, remember that scene where the thing hit? And you're like, oh, no, it was just a story. And then I always feel like that the beginning of Resident Evil 2 had some kind of connection to that, you know?
I mean, I think they flat out said...
Dawn of the Dead 2, I think, has some symbolism to that, because the opening of the remake of Dawn of the Dead has the cars going into a gas station and blowing up as well.
I think they flat out said there's a connection. I've watched a lot of behind the scenes of the original one, and, like... week one of that project was like, all right, all of you, here's a list of Western zombie movies. You watch all of them by next Thursday. Go.
Right. I do like the remake of Dawn of the Dead, too. From the 2000s.
Oh, the one good movie Zack Snyder did? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It was amazing at the beginning when she, after her husband gets killed by the little girl, and she's leaving and she's driving through the neighborhood. And you just see sort of the normal people not understanding what's going on. And they're just standing on their lawn, just getting eaten by zombies. Cause they're like going, what's happening right now? And you know, a whole troop of like little kid zombies just like overwhelms a person.
Oh, that's what saves her life is her zombie husband chases her out the door, and right. then the neighbor comes out and is like, "What's going on?" And he just goes after the neighbor instead.
Right.
And she just yeah. drives away. And it's
but
like,
as she's
oh,
driving
cool.
through the shot of her driving through the neighborhood and seeing just the chaos that's ensuing because people are like standing outside going, "What's happening right now? What's all this big shit going on?"
I just woke up.
Right. So.
I mean, I personally feel that that's the most realistic view ever. If you just woke up one morning, like,
oh, yeah.
let's call it a Wednesday morning because nothing significant usually ever happens on a Wednesday. You're going out of your house to work. You haven't turned on the TV or radio or let's right. just imagine phones don't exist, you know. And you leave your house, it's a beautiful sunny day, and there's just roaming mobs of cannibalistic activity. Your first thing would be like, my brain can't process what the – you would freeze because your brain would not process. Like yeah. keep saying, the only reason she's alive is she had her freezing moment 30 seconds before oh, the yeah, shit yeah. hit the fan. Right. Yeah.
No, there was a thing that they were – I can't remember where I read it, but it was talking about in the first 48 hours, half the population would just be wiped out because of just that in the first 48 hours. Because people couldn't process it, so just there would be – and there would be so much confusion that it would run rampant for 48 hours because mm-hmm. no one would have any fucking idea what was going on.
It's half the population in ground zero. I like if it's one thing this virus has taught us, and you don't have to bite someone to spread it, is that it doesn't happen in a day. You know what I mean? It actually takes quite a while for it to like way shorter than we hoped it would. Not as fast as any zombie movie has ever
yeah.
made it look.
Yeah, yeah.
To be fair, though, there's a lot more of a, like, with a zombie outbreak, there's a pretty cut and dry way of taking care of that.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know,
exterminate
you just
kill, the infected. Yeah.
Yeah. You kill them. No bother. You know, it's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, can you imagine if zombies were slow moving and they told people to stay home or you're going to get eaten? You think
right.
some people would still be out there with the signs like, I need a haircut, all my braids? Like,
yeah, right.
The short answer is yes, less of them though. And yeah. you probably wouldn't hear about it because I mean, if it's one thing every nation likes to do is imagine that its government is full of shit. So there's always going to be some people out there getting explicit warnings with explicit live footage and be like, it's not real. Fuck. Ah, shit. A group of fucking, you know, Cub Scouts. But, you know, it's going to happen.
It's Shaun of the Dead. I like the Shaun of the Dead version where he gets up and goes to the store and yep. shit's already gone on. And he's just like, doo-doo-doo, and he's just walking to the store.
You know, it's funny, hilarious. But we can all instantly think of five people that would do that. Would be that.
Oh,
fun.
Yeah. We have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of obliviousness, we are just about out of time. But anything else anyone wants to talk about before we wrap it up?
Nope.
Well, yep. I would like no, to what? I would like to plug Hot French Semen
in all of my holes so that I don't get the COVID.
Since I have to go back to work on Monday, I'm going to try to find, I guess, as much semen as I can.
Oy.
I know.
The biggest,
it's a sad
best
day.
Semen.
Well, if only you were like Marilyn Manson, huh? Get them, had those ribs removed. You could really go to town on yourself.
Everyone, we're going to pay to have their ribs removed. Everyone, ribs removed. Eat your own semen. It'll cure you up right away. Best, boldest, most semen-y America.
I mean, you could always just jerk off.
I didn't like that idea at all. She just kicked me. She didn't even hear you all the way, and she was like, no, definitely
oh,
not.
Oh, wow. Yeah, get that
I
guy
wish
out.
We could somehow get that on Fox News so that the president would come out and say that that's what would work to cure the virus.
Yeah,
my
get, like,
fellow
Tucker
Americans.
Tucker Carlson or something.
My fellow Americans.
Did you have to inject it internally?
Yes.
Into your lungs.
Turns out the only cure for COVID is a hot beef injection right to the lungs.
Okay, but see, my whole thing would be like, why don't you show us, Mr. President?
I gladly do. Right? See, what you're going to do now is get down on all knees.
That is such a...
Oh, come on. Why is Bobby always laughing?
Hot beef injection. Get it.
Mm. Oh, man.
Oh, I want that on a t-shirt. Just the asshole smiling with a thumbs up and underneath, get it.
Oh, I was saying more like get it, like, but that's even better.
Oh, shit.
I didn't realize what I said.
Join that up with the eat pussy line of merchandise that,
Pussy cures COVID?
Unfortunately, pussy does not cure COVID. It's gotta be gay semen right from the source.
Nah, let's throw a bone to the millennials and just have a shirt that says "Eat ass, cure COVID."
Oh my God. But that will kill people, Keith. They'll think it's liquid.
What is that all about?
I don't know, John. People discovered their sexuality and that they can lick a butthole, and they think they've like reinvented sex.
Look, it's like,
they should go read about the Romans, man. It's like
millennials. You're fucking your friends. Wow.
Yeah, ooh, hey.
You're so risque and crazy. Look at you having casual relations with each other.
Oh. In the butthole.
Let's not make
licking buttholes.
Let's not make
not fun of the young. Oh my God.
Like, come on. Let's not make fun of the young for being stupid.
Do they bleach them first?
Yes, of course.
Probably.
They're Gen Zers.
Buttholes? No. Millennials.
Not lately, though, because the salons haven't been open.
And yeah, you can't. Yeah. Ugh, you don't even want to see my butthole right now. It is looking.
Yeah, my butthole is so normal looking right now. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's like the 12th century up in here.
Kurt Cobain.
Dairy for the last 8 weeks. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah, I've stopped using deodorant. I just shove apples in my armpits now to keep them fresh like they did back in the day.
That garlic in your ear?
Yeah.
I chew on a tree branch to brush my teeth.
I remember reading about how Kurt Cobain was really into doing that. And
Which thing?
Yeah, really?
He was into eating ass a lot. And,
okay.
I wouldn't stick my tongue in your court in your foot, love, if someone fucking paid me.
He wasn't into the bleached assholes, though. And he had a motto. He said, no dirt, no Kurt.
It's good to have a standard. Good for him.
That was, I think I said this before, that was Ric Flair's thing on the road to make sure he wasn't, straying into illegal territory. He'd be just like, no hair, no...
Uncharted waters?
Yeah, he's like, no hair, no flair. You gotta show me you're mature.
I'm not flying in no illegal airspace or anything, if you get my...
I like a clear runway, but not that clear, honey. You're right.
That was Sidecast, ladies and gentlemen. Where we do
always
not...
Always floating in the international water.
Where we do not condone no grass play ball, but we do condone keep COVID away by any means necessary.
Please do your part and don't be a douchebag about it. Wear your fucking mask. Stay the fuck inside if you can afford to. Not everyone can.
Today's Sidecast brought to you by the Council for Hot French Semen.
Remember, guys, if you develop develop a dry cough and cannot smell or taste, you have 20 minutes to ingest some hot cake. Putin guarantee.
John totally must have missed us.
But you have to do it while wearing a beret.
This is wee. Anyway, all right, what the hell? Anyone want to say anything before we get out of here?
I think we said enough.
Yeah, I think we could get Alex Jones on this hot French semen thing, I bet. He buys
Jones
all those fake cures.
He threatened to eat his neighbors. So.
Oh, he actually threatened to eat his neighbors.
I take it back. Alex Jones does have something.
Oh, John. Oh, my God, John. Go look that shit up. You probably missed that video because of your exile. You have got to go look up the thing where he was, like, talking about how if he had to eat his neighbors, he'd do it. Oh, it was fucking, like, even I watched it.
The best part of it was where he's going off and he's like, I will kill them. I will kill them to protect my daughters. He has a son. Like, he has a son, too, but he just says protect his daughter.
Yeah.
That guy's the biggest carny in the universe.
Gotta protect the girls, all right? That's all.
Yeah, he's already
shove him down.
He's already
he should just
son,
quit guys. Politics and go fucking represent somebody in fucking pro wrestling. Jesus Christ.
He should have been. He should have just gone into pro wrestling as a manager, and like every the world would have been fine. He could have just yelled all the shit he wanted.
Well, he'd have ended up meeting fucking Jesse Ventura, and then he'd end up a conspiracy theorist anyway.
Yeah, but Jesse's a little more tempered, you know what I mean? Like, I can tolerate Jesse.
You knock it the fuck off, you girl.
Well, I don't know. Why is Harry Potter happening? I'm so confused.
Because Bob is the biggest woman ever.
Harry Potter. Harriet Potter. Goodbye, folks. See you next week.
Good night, fucking.
Good night, bitches. Good night, bitches.
Hashtag hot beef injection.
Oh,
vagina
shit.
Everywhere strewn.